Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on to your next topic, we just want to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. Plus, there are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor FM to get started.
Adam Levine's Super Bowl moment has finally arrived. Jussie Smollett speaks out on his attack. A Real Housewives crossover feud plus some Grammys buzz. All that and more on Meet the Hollywood Press for February 3rd, 2019. I'm Alina Vision, and now your host of Meet the Hollywood Press, Joseph Capsch.
Happy Sunday Fun Day, everybody. Or I should say, happy Janet Jackson Appreciation Day. Hashtag I'm with Cap Day. Hashtag what else do we have going on? What am I missing?
Puppy Bowl.
Yeah. Whatever it may be. Whether you're celebrating the Super Bowl or not celebrating it, happy, happy Sunday. Mm-hmm. Alina, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Glad
Welcome
to be back.
Yeah.
As always.
I feel like I get separation. You're like my security blanket. Even today, I was like, where's Alina?
I am right here. There's no place else I'd rather be on a Sunday.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's get started because we have with me, first I'm going to gush a little bit because not only someone that I can call a friend, but my the best in the business. I am going to call you the best in music journalism. We have Shirley Halperin, the executive editor of Music at Variety, who also previously served news director at Billboard, the top editor for music at Hollywood Reporter, where we met.
That's right.
So we also share Jersey roots, so we had kind of quickly bonded over there. We used to host an Idol after show, but this is literally the first time I got her on the show since we've launched. Thank you for doing this, because I know you're on Super Bowl duty right after this. Mm-hmm. So welcome, Shirley Halperin, to the Meet the Hollywood Press table.
Thank you, Joseph.
And I welcome back also one of my favorites, Bianca De La Garza.
Thanks, Joseph.
Entertainment and lifestyle host, formerly of Bianca Late Night.
Yes.
Emmy nominated. I always like to say that. And you're launching your own channel, like lifestyle and entertainment channel, Beauty Planet Beauty. Am I allowed to say this?
Yeah, no, you I can hope say so. It. Actually, I haven't said it before, so we can say
Planet
it.
Planet Beauty.
Beauty Planet.
Beauty Planet.
With NBC Universal.
Why don't you tell them a little bit about it really quickly?
Really quickly. I'm super excited about it. I'm super excited to be here with you, Shirley. Perfect
Thank
day
you.
If we're talking music. Like, you are the bomb with all that and some scoops that we're going to break here. But I'll tell you more about Beauty Planet in a nutshell. It's beauty-focused programming. I've founded my own beauty line. We're going to rewrite the narrative in beauty, and we're in 12 million homes in the U.S. launching soon, based right here in Los Angeles. So we're going to have a live studio audience, and I'm excited to see where it goes.
Congratulations.
Thank
That's
you.
Awesome.
Okay,
yes.
Let's Congrats. Jump in, because I want to get these ladies on their way and you off to your Super Bowl soiree and me just home. Okay, so basically, Shirley, this is such a perfect day because Adam Levine, obviously, you had done the cover story when this first, when he first was, it was announced that he was going to do the Super Bowl, and the controversy was swirling around it. Now, just this week, he spoke, and we're going to run some tape in a couple, in just about 2 seconds. He spoke with ET. It was his only sit down because basically the NFL decided to not do the annual press conference where all journalists, which I thought was very telling in the interview, because when they asked him, why did you choose to just do this one interview? He said, you have to ask the NFL that. So just run, we're going to run some tape right now, and then we're going to come back and talk about this.
Performance and just a little. What went into your decision to play the Super Bowl?
You know, I think that when you look back on every single Super Bowl halftime show, people just can't. It's this, like, insatiable urge to hate a little bit. I'm not in the right profession if I can't handle a little bit of controversy. It's what it is. We expected it. We'd like to move on from it. And, like I said earlier, speak through the music.
The music. Did you talk to anybody before you made the decision?
Maybe. I did. I spoke to many people. Most importantly, though, when I silenced all the noise, listened to myself, and made my decision based upon how I felt about it all.
Why'd you guys cancel the press conference?
The NFL canceled the press conference. You'll have to speak with them.
Has this changed the way you go about this performance?
Okay, coming back in from that. So what surprised you most when you sat down to talk about this now, just on the eve of his performance?
Well, I guess that he was so willing to answer whatever Kevin threw at him, which yes. I think is really great and says a lot about how confident he is dealing with the press.
Yeah.
So I thought that was interesting. I thought it was interesting that he revealed that the NFL were the ones that canceled the press conference, because
yeah.
I think when it was originally canceled, a lot of people thought, oh, they can't take the heat. They don't want to be there. Even
yeah.
Prince did a press conference, you
yeah.
know. So they got, like, a little bit of extra criticism for that. So it was good that he sort of, you know, laid it all on the line.
Yeah.
Does make me wonder what the NFL was thinking, but
yeah.
that's what we all think all the time.
All the
what
time.
Is the NFL thinking?
So from a standpoint of this halftime show, feels like it's been a long window from like when we found out, just because of the different turns that it took, with where it was like he was going to perform the song Girls Like You, which Cardi appears on, and it was like, was Cardi going to do it? Was she not going to do it? She came out with actually a statement saying, like, I passed up money,
yes.
a big amount, and she's claiming that she was with Cap. Now, was that always the narrative from the get-go, that it was like, I'm standing with Cap, or does this narrative just emerge now?
It's a little tricky because the Maroon 5 wasn't actually announced until a couple of weeks ago.
Okay.
So even the 3-4 months ago when we were talking about the Super Bowl, it still wasn't official that they were performing. So everything
yes.
was sort of conjecture
yes.
at that point. You know, we heard through sources that Cardi B was offered the performance and turned it down. There may have been money, you know, that she wanted. It's a free performance.
Yes.
That's the thing about the Super Bowl, is like you don't get paid to do the halftime show, which I think was very smart how they handled that by bringing in Travis Scott and then, you know, giving money to these charities. So, yes, it has been a long slog.
Yes, that's what it feels
to get
like.
To this part.
It's like this huge window.
Yeah, but the last couple of weeks I feel like I've really ramped up because it was like finally officially announced.
Bianca, what was your feeling when you first, you know, with all of the controversy that was swirling around who was going to play the Super Bowl, given the protests and everything, what was your first reaction?
So I even want to take it a step backward, because I've covered Super Bowls. I've covered that big dog and pony show the NFL does with the press conference and
yeah.
what the Super Bowl is, which it always has been, is sort of this spectacle.
Yeah.
And it's about two teams taking the field. It's raw. It's aggression. And then you have in the middle the halftime show, which is this, you know, exposure for the band, whoever it is, to millions of people worldwide. So it's hard to pass up. But I look at this and I remember the year after 9/11 when I was sitting there and U2 took the stage. And it was an epic performance, because
yeah.
everyone who died in 9/11, their names were flashed there. And it was
yeah.
a moment where people were solidified.
Mm-hmm.
I am very saddened by all this, because I think we're getting into dangerous territory, because now we're looking at celebrities and everyone's weighing in and there's all this vitriol. And I'm saying to myself, you know, isn't this supposed to be about compassion and how we don't want social injustice? We want to love one another. Maybe Maroon 5 can do something today that supports Colin and can support the bigger platform, because they have the views. So I think it was going to be bad if they turned it down, bad if they accepted it. There was no winning for any of them. I just wish we could take today and say, listen, there's millions of people around a television set. How do we get people united around music, united around love, to do something bigger and not stoop to this whole, like, why did you do it? Why didn't you do it? And Akon came out in favor of, you know, some of the heat that, you know, Travis was getting, and saying, you know, there is money going to charity. So I think at the end of the day, no one's perfect in any of this. But at the end of the day, what we really want to do, if we want to affect change, it's not so much by celebrities pointing the finger saying, you shouldn't have done this, you shouldn't have that. All it does is give the media a field day.
Alina, were you surprised about the swift backlash against Travis Scott? Or do you feel that that was warranted?
I actually wasn't that surprised.
Yeah.
Especially from anyone who's, you know, with the I Stand With Cap.
Yeah.
Like, we even saw Ava DuVernay today
yeah.
tweet out about that. And I think we
do
actually
have that
have,
up?
Yeah,
yeah,
we do have
to
a tweet. So she says, I will not be a spectator, viewer, or supporter of the Super Bowl today in protest of the NFL's racist treatment of Kaepernick and its ongoing disregard for the health plus well-being of all its players. To watch the game is to compromise my beliefs. It's not worth it. Hashtag I'm with Cap. So I wasn't surprised when people
yeah.
were, you know, like, oh, let's cancel Travis Scott, because there is a lot of people, especially in the Black community, who have seen what's been happening to NFL players and the whole take the knee, and especially Colin Kaepernick not being allowed back in the NFL.
Yeah.
And there were other artists who supposedly were offered the job and turned it down.
Yes.
And so I think that there is this whole, you know, dichotomy of like, well, we need to stick together so that people get the point across. And I do see what you're saying, Bianca. Like,
well, how do we move forward? I mean, every year we're going to say whoever performs at the Super Bowl halftime is racist. Is it?
I don't think it's people like were saying healing. That the band is racist. Like, I didn't expect for them to not turn it down.
Yeah.
Because they can't put themselves, you know, in a black man's shoes for the most part. I don't think that they prescribe to, you know, the whole they can't kneel. And I'm really interested to see what they do today, because I do think there will be something in the performance that will speak to the larger picture of all of this.
Well, surely he alluded.
Yeah, I think so.
He alluded to that in the Entertainment Tonight without giving to what he said. I'm going to let the music play,
exactly.
And I'm not going to give too much away. Do you think we're expected? I mean, to me, Beyonce really made a real political statement in her Super Bowl performance. So she still did the Super Bowl, but still made a statement about what she wanted to make a statement about. Do you expect something grand like this from him?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Yeah, I think they have to do something.
Okay.
So it's just a question of, you know, how smart and sensitive and savvy they can be to make that moment one that doesn't get, you know, mocked or criticized or get an accusation of cultural appropriation.
Yes.
Like, all of those things are very, very tricky territory, and the fact that it's in Atlanta, you know, puts even more of an emphasis on black culture, I think. And, you know, they're going to have to navigate this. It's going to be tough.
So, in terms of with Big Boi and Travis Scott, through your sources, why did it end up being them? Was there a lot of people that they had, just knowing what you know, through this process that they went to even before that they finally got?
There were a lot of people that they went to. There were a lot of people that turned them down, but they're all three are managed by the same people.
Okay.
So,
okay, got it.
You know, it really is, I think, more like that.
Okay. Yeah. Got it. Now, there's buzz I was seeing online, which I think will be the most horrible thing to do to the Super Bowl, but is it that Travis Scott might actually propose to Kylie Jenner? Is there any...
Well, that was the funniest meme of this week. Whoever thought of it is brilliant. Because it was like, oh, will it be a Kris Jenner? Will it be a Kris Jenner Super Bowl? Because Travis could take a knee and propose to Kylie, which would be an amazing way to deflect all of this stuff.
And she's posting pictures, baby number two question. Then she's saying, no, I'm not pregnant. You know, so it is this sort of...
On the scale of how colossally bad that would be next to the Pepsi commercial, where do we put that?
Oh,
I just think it's like take so much away from... Because that's going to become then
dominate. Yes.
I don't think he'll
do that. But that's what Kris Jenner wants. You
I
know?
Hope that that doesn't happen. Because I want to see that Maroon 5 ends up winning over a lot of the naysayers with some kind of really touching expression about all of this.
And it's all playing out right now. I mean, remains to be seen, but they can, I think.
Well, also, the Girls Like You video, which, in case any reviewers don't know, had appearances by some, like, really, like, A-list women all through, and it was basically, like, an homage to, like, the Me Too movement and what's going on.
Yeah,
or women empowerment.
Well, every woman had her back to Adam Levine's back, and it was supposed to symbolize that, you know, we have your back.
Yes.
And he personally called all of those women himself.
To do the video,
yeah. So it wasn't some, like, you know, BS casting kind of thing.
Yes.
They really were invested in the message of that song.
Wow. Okay, so any final thoughts, like, before we move on from
the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Go Rams?
Right.
I'm like the guy.
Exactly.
I'm a Patriots fan. Tom Brady, so I know. Maybe we should move on.
That's
because
a whole,
I know
that's
I'm
a whole
sitting in Los
episode.
Angeles, but I'm faithful.
We only have 25 more minutes. Go Rams is right. Okay, so moving on from that to Jussie Smollett, for viewers who may not have caught the story, he was attacked in Chicago this week by two men, and it's being treated as an
possible hate crime.
Possible hate crime, and in which he told police in his report that they screamed, "This is MAGNA country," homophobic slurs, racial slurs. And now he has sent, obviously, the outpouring of support was swift and across social media and all over the news. But there's been, I guess, what had seemed like the Chicago police started doing a lot of like their own reporting on Twitter, like about like the different legs of the story. And now Jesse appeared for the first time, which you were at the performance last night at the Troubadour last night, coming out for the first time publicly. He got clear from his doctor to cut any. And his message, which I want to run the tape, he cleared up some, I guess, misconceptions he's taken. Because he's got issues sort of with the media and the way that stuff's been reported. So let's take a look and then come back. Oh, sure. So basically, at the concert, which was like, I think, a 400, about 400.
Yeah,
pretty intimate.
Lee Daniels was there.
Wilson Cruz was there.
Wilson Cruz.
Jesse's family and his mother was there.
Is the manager that, and his manager too, that was the one?
Yes. I didn't see his manager, but I assumed that he was there. Yeah, it was a really emotional show. You know, I think the way that they did it was really smart, if I could just sort of explain.
Yeah, please tell us.
Yeah, so they had his brothers and sisters come out, all sort of stand on the stage and read this prepared letter that was about, you know, how Jesse had always been a fighter ever since he was a little kid and, you know, and addressing some of the media reports and stuff. But I thought it was just very well written and well spoken. And then they brought him out. And then he made a statement about, you know, I mean, he said, like, I can't let those motherfuckers win. And,
yeah.
You know, he later said that he fought back. But it was, again, just another sort of, like, declaration of him being a person of love. And, you know, I think we were all sort of horrified by the event because it's just horrible. But it's also the fact that it took place in Chicago.
Yes.
You know, in what would seem like a metropolitan, cosmopolitan place. Or, I don't know. Like, the whole thing is just, there's so much to wrap your head around. But I thought he addressed it.
Yeah.
He did it right at the front, you know, and then he put on an amazing
show.
And then he came back to it a little bit later because he saw Wilson Cruz in the audience and he said, you know, I want to shout out Wilson Cruz because he's the first person I remember seeing on TV who looked like me.
Like me.
You know, who was like me. So it was really emotional and super sold out. There was an insane line outside. There was West Hollywood police presence. Like, you know, it was a big, big deal.
That's what said it was on high alert.
I'm so glad he did it. I mean, I'm sure it was incredible being in that room, but that was a smart decision.
Yeah.
Because the fact that this happened and then there was any type of questioning about his story is terrible. I hope Chicago police do take it as serious as they say they will and go after, you know, and try to find these suspects who did this, you know, terrible crime. I think he had to show his face. I think at the end of the day, we have to remember that this, you know, this star who has been outspoken for gay rights, anti-Trump, you know, there's a very real sign here that he probably, you know, there were people there who knew he was filming and knew they probably knew all of this. So the fact that he even had to deal with this didn't happen when they have video of him walking into his apartment with a noose on his neck is disgraceful. But I think that seeing him last night and lets people know I'm not hiding.
Right.
I'm a star. I have a platform. People love and support me.
Right.
And you're going to either, you know, believe this crime happened, whether you think it's so distasteful, let's not close our eyes to what is happening in the world, homophobic, racist people. And I think it was, you know, a really great sign that he, you know, he did speak out. What did you say? I'm the gay Tupac.
Yes.
Which is so hilarious.
That was,
you know?
I mean, that was funny,
he's
too.
Just,
it definitely lightened up towards the end of the show, but it was very heavy at the beginning.
Do we have the tape on to roll?
They were not broken. Theater. I went to the doctor immediately. Frank Gadsden drove me. I was not hospitalized. Both my doctors in LA and Chicago cleared me to perform, but said to take care, obviously. And above all, I fought the back.
Okay.
Yeah.
So those were the points, but that he, because I guess it was reported immediately, and I'm pretty sure before like the major news networks and publications got a hold of it, it was broke. It was about the broke ribs, which was clearly from like sources, right?
Mm-hmm.
Police sources or informants, quote unquote. So that's what's interesting to me is like we've had this like past 2 weeks where it's been kind of dicey in the media for like the BuzzFeed story with Trump. And then this is really confusing me a little and confounding me a little bit because like even NBC News 2 days ago, the latest update was that NBC News is claiming, and then it had quotes from the Chicago police, that he doesn't want to turn over his cell phone. So I'm trying to, what is your feelings on that? If that's actually true, why would, because wouldn't the telephone records and mm-hmm. cell phone prove the whole count where he was talking to the manager?
Well, we don't know who's advising him. We don't know what legal counsel's saying. I mean, we don't really know. I think a lot of the things, you know, this we're dealing with, you know, probably unnamed sources, you know, and what whoever NBC is dealing with. But I mean, maybe he's being advised to wait so they can look at things. I think they are
cooperating with the police.
That's what I'm saying.
We spoke to the manager, Brandon Moore, on like Thursday, and he said that he was cooperating.
But the way you spoke earlier about it, were you feeling that there was a certain bias in some of the reporting that
Chicago
you were
reading? Chicago was the first to cover the story, probably. Okay. Chicago crime, and it's sad what's happening. I have family in Chicago. I mean, they have more homicides than New York and Los Angeles combined.
Yeah.
Okay, in a year. So, I mean, it's not a good sign for them to have this happen. So I think initially, the way I think it was like, oh, let's really make sure this happened. It's like, yeah, it probably did happen because this guy, you see him, and he's not, you know, this is, like I said, with the video of the noose around his neck. I think that, you know, when you're dealing with, you know, it wasn't a national story right away, so maybe it was a little bit of like, oh, how do we deal with this?
Yes.
And you know, when you're dealing with, you know, local police, are very careful on how they're going to
on how they're thinking. Yeah, it's funny because
it's controversial.
Like,
it's a huge Hollywood star in their backyard, and they're not Hollywood. You know, they're not really used to this type of, you know, the media spotlight where you're going to come in Variety, and everyone's going to say we want real answers here. But now I think everything's going to have the spotlight on it, and the truth will come out. And that's why I think last night was so important for him to come out and say, this is my story. I'm telling it. I've always been honest.
Which I don't doubt in the least. I just think it's interesting how people are reading the stories, because sometimes when like police departments release statements, they're very just matter of fact.
Right.
So I feel like you can read into that as a consumer or just a viewer, that you're feeling like it's just like, no, they're just stating like two suspects have not been. These are, and I think that's where it's getting lost in translation. It's not like the cops are accusing that something didn't happen. They're just stating fact by fact as they're investigating.
Right. And they probably have more facts, but they're still looking for the suspects.
They're being cautious.
Exactly.
They can't just let it out to the public.
Because the one thing I can speak to is, like, not a lot of the celebrities we talk about, we can't always speak to, like, hands-on experience. But I will say with Jesse, I put him, when I was executive editor of The Wrap, he was on one of the cover stars for our, like, fall TV issue. So he literally spent, like, the whole day at the studio with us, and I also got to interview him myself. So, like, two times, couldn't be a more genuine, authentic, like, pleasant guy, very vocal, like you said, for rights and diversity in Hollywood and everything. But that's what I fear, why it could be an orchestrated attack.
Like
I worry that he was targeted because he's very vocal politically on social media, and that's frightening to me.
Someone even mentioned how cold it was that night in Chicago. Who's standing outside 2 a.m. Just randomly going to attack somebody?
That's what
so
I mean.
If it went down and it, you know, if people, they knew who they wanted.
I'm glad that he came out, performed, and said what he said, and I want to send our best to him because it's like it was shocking to a lot of us. I think just like the day that I actually read it, and this the details of it, the bleach to this, you were just like, oh my god, this
like
is,
who does that?
Who
seriously
does it? It was awful. Yeah. So well, and I caution people to just continue to let the story and the investigation play out, because there's always like that quick rush to judgment one way or the other. So anyway, moving on from that, we got a little lighter fare, which I think is really hysterical. So Real Housewives. First of all, I just want to say, Jenny McCarthy, do you guys listen to her regularly?
Mm-mm,
okay,
no.
She, to me, is really fast becoming like the female Howard Stern, in my view. She has a unique ability right now to get them to spill the things that they're not spilling. If you actually follow her Sirius radio show, it's incredible. So for anyone who watches Real Housewives, NeNe Leakes is on Atlanta, and Lisa Vanderpump, who obviously owns Sir and Pump here, is on the Beverly Hills version. And I guess there was an episode, NeNe was recently on Andy Cohen's Watch What Happens, and they asked her some call-in question or something about who's the one housewife you would love to just go toe-to-toe with. She, in that interview, accidentally said Lisa Rinna, but she said the wrong last name, but she meant Vanderpump, and she was saying, there's a story. So a couple of days later, she goes on Jenny McCarthy, and let's run this tape, and we'll come back.
On Santa Monica Boulevard, right?
Yep.
That bar. So at the time, Greg and I were living up in Doheny Estates. We had our house up there, and I was working on Glee and New Normal. And I can't. We ride down that West Hollywood area where all the gay bars are. And I have a large gay fan base. And I kept thinking, it would be so cool if I had a bar right in here somewhere. And that space was empty and kind of raggedy looking and torn down. And the Abbey is like right there, right?
Yep.
And I said, this is a cool spot because I could get some of the business from the Abbey. I have a large gay fan base. So I said, who could I call and ask, is this a good area? Because I'm not so sure. So I called Lisa Vanderpump. Asked her about this whole area. She said, oh, darling. Darling, it's a piece of crap, and they're charging so much for it, darling. And I was like, oh, I love it. I think it's a great space, and I knew to call you because I knew you have a restaurant. Do you know she talked me off of it and then went and got it? Oh, my God, Nene! Yes.
Okay, come she back did. That's from so that.
Jenny did coax it out of her very well.
She
though.
Did.
I watched the lead.
She really did.
She even has sunglasses on.
Yeah, she wears sunglasses. That's her thing. No, it's not even just that. Like, some of her interviews are fast. They're like epic. Like, she's my guilty pleasure now. Like, I'm always checking out her size. She gets good stuff.
Yeah, that was good.
There's something I think unarming when you're not on. Like, they're taping it, but you're doing radio. It's similar to the shows that we do here. Like, you're more comfortable because you're just not. You feel like it's like a podcast. Mm. You know, she's getting good stuff. So now this is turned into Lisa Vanderpump then responds within like the day. Lisa Vanderpump is very like when she sends messages out, they're not like direct, but she's like having dinner with my priest basically. So that's like her response to it so far. She hasn't directly responded, but Nene Leakes, let me tell you something, she ain't gonna let that go now. She's been public with it because she said to her, which we didn't watch, she's like, I need her right here. I want her. She goes, I'll address this, but she's going to be here when we address it.
Wow. Right. But Jenny still got it out of her. But I think in this town, we know ideas get stolen. We know, you know, scripts that I have an idea. Yeah. And then someone, I mean, very possible this happened. It's so interesting, though, to think about this. It's like, at the end of the day, that we know when you drive by Pump, it's so iconic to that's Lisa's place. But when you hear this, it's like, okay.
You did something dirty. Like
12 businesses.
12 businesses
in
there.
Yeah, there's been a lot.
She's the only one that has been there, has been managed to make that. It's been like
that's
a coffee.
That like, corner has been really cursed.
Yeah. It's a curse. It was like a coffee
lounge.
It was
lounge. A coffee place. It was terrible.
All these weird things in that space that failed. They opened 6 months, a year. Gone. She's the only one that's managed to make
but
it work.
But actually, it was Nene's vision. You know?
It's crazy.
It's
especially because it's just a phone call, so it's literally going to come down to her word against it. It's not going to go anywhere from that. But I will say this, in following The Real Housewives, I've not known Nene Leakes to ever talk like shit and lie. Like when she comes forward with something,
it's true.
She's always had receipts. So, but do you find it? Do you watch Beverly Hills?
Course.
You do? Okay, good. So do you think they're piling, they're going to pile on Lisa Vanderpump this season.
Well, isn't that what they do? They sort of like, they target one person and that whole season is builds up to the drama with that one person.
But in real life, it's spilled over because Andy Cohen, if you saw the news, had that epic baby shower.
Right.
And it was only Lisa Vanderpump missing, Bethany Frankel, and like one other one of the OGs that were not there, and they caught Kyle Richards like a day later and said, how come she wasn't there? And Kyle Richards threw total shade and was like, yeah, at this point, I think I have to pay money to get her time.
Well, wow. Yeah.
Total shade.
Wow. That day of Andy's baby shower, she was in Vegas and posted something about it, her restaurant that she's opening in Vegas. So as far as Lisa concerned, she's all business, and she knows that she's got this platform, and she's opening restaurant after restaurant and just going to the bank with it, I think.
But I love Lisa Vanderpump. Like, she's been my favorite, but, like, it does get a little ridiculous that like no one believes that like when you're an entrepreneur like she couldn't reschedule her trip, like she had to be in Vegas working on her thing. I mean,
but doesn't it make you realize that she's all about business? She's like, no, I'm gonna be at the restaurant, I'm gonna open my thing. And maybe if we believe what you know was told on Jenny McCarthy's show, maybe even way back then she was as shrewd as a fox.
Yeah.
Do you think they're maybe setting up, because I don't know how smart sometimes like Bravo or these networks are, but could they just be setting up like they've talked a lot about like a crossover edition finally of like
an all-star
where they put all women from
like a
all
cage
the,
match
no basically like it essentially would be that but no putting them all in some like vacation spot for like six for like a month. I think that would be the best thing ever. Oh my God, put them in like the Hamptons for like the all-stars in the Hamptons for 4 weeks and tape that crap. That would be through the roof. Who wouldn't watch that? That's a Real Housewives. Teresa, Nene, Lisa. I mean, that'd be awesome. I feel like they could be setting something up like that. There's more to it. Because it just seems so weird that all of a sudden she came out of the blue with this now. Like, why?
It is a little interesting. Well, it might have been, too, because she said Lisa Rinna, and she was like, no, I really want to, you know, it could have been organic in that way, but a crossover would be really interesting.
Okay, so for the last part of the show, because we have Shirley here, and I don't know when I'll get you back.
You have to come back, Shirley.
I want to talk a little bit of just in general, like, right now, the Grammys are upon us. I don't want to talk predictions and all that, because, like...
Oh, good, because suck at them. I'm so glad.
Because it's just like, let them take care of that online somewhere.
Yeah.
Or the Gold Derby. Doesn't Gold Derby do the odds on that? Yeah, let Gold Derby take care of that. I want to just talk more about, like, we're in this, we've been talking about this ongoing in our show with all the other award shows, that we feel that award shows are at a crossroads and just where they're... We're in this streaming, this broader platform universe, and every year you hear about, like, the Oscars, like, how are they going to maintain the younger viewers? How are they going to bring in? How they, you know, about nominating. Do you feel the Grammys feel that same kind of pressure?
Definitely.
You do?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, because it's still a TV show, and it's a CBS show, and CBS has a much older demo.
Yes.
So I think it's even more challenging to bring the age down just because of that.
Yeah.
But, look, all of these award shows have had controversies, whether it's Oscars So White or Grammy So Male.
So Male, exactly.
Yeah, and the balance of diversity and feeling like you're including, you know, different genres and different people.
Yes.
And it is something that I think is weighs pretty heavily on the producers, you know?
Yes.
But they don't always make the right decisions.
That
said... You know, there's a lot of pressure, I think, and there's a lot of relationships. We were talking about three bands at the Super Bowl being managed by the same person. You know, there's a lot of relationships that come into play when it comes to the Grammys, and they sometimes really mess up the show. Like,
Last
year, U2 performed twice, remember?
Yes, I do remember.
And they,
like,
weren't even nominated.
Yeah.
And Shaggy and Sting got a really big look.
Yes.
Which was like, why?
What?
You know? And then only one woman came on to accept an award during the telecast. It was more than 3 hours. No, it was Alessia Cara.
Oh.
Lorde wasn't allowed to perform, even though she was up for Album of the Year, and every other nominee in that category got to perform. So,
why wasn't she allowed?
Because they wouldn't offer it to her, you know?
Okay.
They were like, you could be part of a medley, and she's like, no, I want to perform my song like all these other nominees. So, yeah, I mean, there were some really, really bad decisions made last year that I think, you know, they're still sort of, you know, coming out of, and we'll see what they do this year. So far, the acts that they've announced make it seem much more like the Billboard Awards or the American Music Awards. Like, it doesn't feel as special or as A-listy, but, you know, we still have a week.
Let's
see what happens.
What did you think of the choice of Alicia Keys as
host? Love it.
I think that's a
great
call.
Yeah, I think it's great. And I think it's a move in the right direction. I think, look, it comes down to leadership. And if you're going to have producers and people, I think the Grammys has a chance to reinvent themselves with the person who's been running for 17 years is going to come down after this show. So I think they can appoint someone new and fresh, maybe more new guard. And I think with the right leadership, I think they really can reclaim themselves as being, you know, more sexy and A-list and more balanced and more diverse and inclusive. So I think that there's this, you know, it's an interesting part in the industry, though, because it's like you want to have, niche wants to be mainstream.
Right.
You know, you want to find the up-and-coming people, but you always want to pay homage to, like, the people who are going to get you in the seats and bring you that wow factor. So it's not an easy show to produce, but I think, you know, this year they're doing the best they can with Alicia Keys. I'm really excited for the Dolly Parton, what they're going to do with
her.
I love Dolly Parton. I mean, it's just like from my childhood. I remember her being so interesting and quirky and always just the type of woman who didn't care that she was different and she had the big boobs and one of her famous quotes was like, it takes a lot of makeup to make someone look this cheap, you know, and she was so playful and hilarious and just such an iconic thing. I think the more moments they can make in the Grammys like that will bridge the gap of generations, that's when you're going to bring the rating success, that's where you're going to have the buzz leading up to it. I can't believe they did this, how they did this. So it's just going to take some more creativity and a lot more massaging the format there to really get people to reinvigorate.
I do think that this is a transitional time for the Grammys.
Yeah.
Because, like you said, Neil Portnow, he's going to be stepping down in July.
Yeah.
Ken Ehrlich, who has been producing the telecast forever, you know, he might not
continue with it, or, you know, have to sort of loosen the reins a little bit. So, yeah.
Maybe they should consult with you and some other journalists to say, hey, right? What would you be interested in? And get the feedback. You've been covering the music industry for so long. Well, I mean, why not?
You. Thank you, Bianca.
No, it's true. Paul Shirley.
I will take that. No, why not?
Exactly.
Well, wait a minute. Do you think the way that the Oscars Academy, where we saw very publicly and in the trade reporting about when they needed to kind of start to invite younger, more diverse, is the Academy that votes,
the voting
is
academy.
It much more diverse already, or did they have to
it
spend
is,
time
but they also,
fixing it?
They also need to bring in younger chapter members.
Yes.
It needs to be more diverse. There are very few women in the technical categories, like mixing, engineering. I think it's like 1%.
Yes.
Like, it's really, really bad. Oof. So there's a lot of work to be done, and I think no one would disagree that the next person who heads the Recording Academy should be a woman.
Yeah,
and if it's not, there's going to be problems.
We can say that about a lot of positions in the world, like president.
There you go.
Now, what did you think of those medleys, Alina? Because you're a music gal. You like music, and your husband produces. So it's like, what do you think of when they put like the old, like I shouldn't say old.
Right.
The iconic acts with like the younger acts.
I think it depends on which act it is. And going back to the point of the Grammys and, you know, making it a little bit younger, I think they have an easier time than other award shows because of the fact that music is a little bit younger and hipper, and they do bring in those acts. But yeah, as far as the medleys go, they have to, if it's all young people, fine, but I'd rather see a younger person perform their songs.
Me too.
That's like, I'm here for the hits.
I agree.
I'm here for now.
I want to ask a random, like, trivial question. Do you believe in this best new artist curse at the Grammys, though?
Completely.
You do, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because where's India Ari?
Oh. Like,
where is she?
I know. It's
no,
the kiss
I
of
mean,
death.
If you actually go through, there's not all of them. There's some exceptions.
Yes,
so
very few.
There's something to be said about it.
Yeah,
I would not want that title.
Well, actually, and that category is an interesting one because, like, I know we're not doing predictions, but it would be so hard to predict. There's so many, like Dua Lipa and Bebe Rexha and Chloe and Halle and her. Like, everyone seems to cancel out Margot Price and Luke Combs. Like, I would have a really, really hard time. But I hope Dua doesn't get it or Bebe doesn't get it. So that they have long careers and can do lots of interviews with us.
So funny.
Excuse me.
But there's always that one who thinks, I can break the curse.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be me, you know?
I feel like there was one that really did do well.
Christina Aguilera might be.
It might have been. This is when we should pull it up on the computer.
I'm looking it up.
Thanks, Alina.
Thank you.
But is it better to have won one Grammy or never had a Grammy in your life?
I don't think these awards matter at all in any way, shape, or form.
I think it's just to say Grammy-winning artist.
I mean, the one cool thing about the Grammys, and I guess it's the Oscars too, is that they're voted on by your peers, you know, by people who are actually working musicians, you know, and I think there's something cool about that as opposed to like some Hollywood Foreign Press Association or some...
You mean like 90 wacky
that's
people
true.
That are like,
yeah,
hey,
like, you know,
let's throw this
where
party
it's like,
and
well,
give
who
award.
Made you, who made you God, you know?
All right, we actually... There's a couple of people.
Yeah,
Sam
who?
Smith.
Sam Smith, okay.
All right. Chance the Rapper.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah. Alyssa Cara,
So she won last year, and I feel like her career was a little
flat.
Oh, wait, Alicia Keys actually won in 2002.
Oh, okay,
so,
Alicia.
Okay, so Alicia.
You got a couple.
Alicia. We're in five. Hey, there we go.
So they're holding it up.
Full circle.
So four out of...
Yeah, full circle.
You know what? Four out of the last, what, 60? It's not bad, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I think that... I was surprised that Taylor T. Swift... like not getting as many. Like what happened?
I don't know.
She was like the darling of like everything, and then all of a sudden,
I don't know. We were talking right before the show about Lady Gaga, you know, making the sort of like campaign rounds.
Yes,
I mean it was the same with
T Swift.
Yeah, she did everything. She performed on the show. She was there for them. She, you know,
yes.
And then what happened? Like this year, they were like you're not deserving? Like, why?
But that's it, though. Music industry, unless it's just more, less, they don't actually do this whole, like, they do it, but they're not, like, they don't do for your consideration, per se.
No, I think they're not allowed to.
They're not allowed to do that.
Yeah.
So, what do you think that that'd be a good idea for the music? Or is it just more, like...
I think it's more about, like, I think artists that do a lot of Grammy or Recording Academy events, you just assume, you know, would be shoo-ins for these major awards, and for some reason Taylor did not make
and
the
maybe
cut this
everyone
year.
Else thought, oh, they're all going to vote for Taylor, so I'm going to go with someone else, and
maybe
she just fell through the cracks, you know. Everyone assumes she's going to get it, so then they don't vote for her, and then it's like, oh, well,
I love
nothing,
her now.
So
I just love her. I was just listening to Delicate on the way here, getting a good squeeze. Okay.
And she's in London, so she won't be at the show, and Maroon 5 aren't going to the show. So,
oh, he ranks on the Grammys every
year.
Yeah,
he did in our interview. Yes. He was basically like, fuck the Grammys.
Yeah. Pretty much. Okay, I want to thank both of you for being here and chatting with us. I'm going to race home to get these up so we can capitalize on the Super Bowl.
Always so fun to be here.
Thank you.
Thanks, Joseph.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Alina, can you please tell our viewers where they can find us?
Absolutely. You guys can find us on the After Buzz YouTube page and subscribe to MTHP on Apple Podcasts. Rate us, give us those likes and reviews. Plus, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Meet the Hollywood Press and on Twitter at Meet the HWD Press.
Thank you for watching, and we'll catch you next Sunday.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.